We're back in session on item two, the workload allocation funding model adjustment request process. This is an action item. We have presiding Judge Lori Earle, co-chair of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, and also Mr. Zlatko Theodorovich, co-chair Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. And we have assistance with the PowerPoint.
Colin Simpson.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you, Chief. I wanted to take a moment before we go into our slide presentation and specific recommendations to just provide a brief update on the work of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. The last time I was before you was in April, so I wanted to give you just a little bit of an update. We, Zlatko and I, in consultation, made the decision that it would be important for us to open the meeting, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee meetings, to the public. When it comes to how we make decisions on the money that we get from the legislature, we thought that was an important issue for the public to be able to hear us deliberate on. And so in our July meeting, we did, in fact, open up the meeting. It was the meeting was held here in the Judicial Council boardroom and streamed live, as the council meetings are. We posted our materials a week ahead of time, and we thought that there was great success and much appreciation throughout the state for doing that. We took the additional step in August of when we posted the materials, inviting public comment, both in writing or in person. We did have public comment of both a written nature, and we had someone who attended the meeting and provided public comment to us. We did have a small glitch in our August meeting. The night before the meeting, the technology equipment used to stream the meeting inexplicably died, and in a rough scramble by staff to try to repair or replace it, we were not able to do that. So unfortunately, on our second meeting, although we were not able to stream it live, and we could not accommodate all of the interested parties in a telephone line, we did tape record the meeting, and the tape recording was posted within 24 hours and is still on the California Courts website for anyone who wanted to listen. So it has been a good process, I think. It has been a process that we find valuable to the folks that have provided us feedback they've found valuable. And so we will continue to move forward with public meetings. And as I said, we did have one particular public comment, someone from the court, Federation of Court Interpreters, who came to the meeting, found the agenda on the website, which I'll remind everyone is posted at least a week ahead of time, and the date of the meeting is posted weeks ahead of our meeting date. So we found that to be invaluable, I think. All right. So moving into the work of the Budget Advisory Committee on the WAFM funding model, you may recall that when we presented this to the council in April, we told you that we had a number of items on our parking lot list that we felt we needed to look at, that we could not implement in the first year of the model, but we would dig right in the next fiscal year and get to work on. One of those issues or components of the model that we felt important to identify, you may recall, was this unique factor process. And the goal of that was really to provide each trial court the opportunity on an annual basis to develop a proposal for a modification of the model. We really feel that the model is a living, breathing model that will evolve over time. So we got down to work to address this particular issue that would allow input from the trial courts. We put together a subgroup of the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, so that's a subcommittee of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, who met on several occasions in the spring and summer to address this issue on the what's before you today, the adjustment request process. And I will tell you, we were buoyed and I think encouraged by not only the chief a willingness to appoint outgoing budget working group members as advisory members to the new incoming advisory committee. So unless I've lost everyone, we had some folks who were rotating off the group, but who had been integral in the process of talking about this then unique factor process, who the chief allowed to remain until we worked this out. So at our meetings, we had kind of the old original group, and we had incoming members. And we were really valued by the incoming members and having a new set of eyes look at this and talk to us about what we, how we envision this. And we were able actually to work through this on a very long day and a hot day in Sacramento. And then we the subcommittee approved it on August 13th. And then we took it to the full Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee just a week ago on August 14th, and it was met with enthusiasm and approved unanimously. But I want to talk a little bit about the model itself. As I indicated, it's we view it as an opportunity to continue to assess the model, and when there is a court that believes that there is some factor within the model that's not yet accounted for that should be included, there should be a process of which courts can approach and say, we think that this needs to be included in the model. As I said, this would be on an annual basis to allow courts to do that. The we've worked out kind of the process of those requests, and briefly, the first process, deliberative process, would be for the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to initially review the request to determine whether the factor that's identified in a particular court's request should form the basis of a potential modification to the model, if it should be included within the model. And if it's determined that it should be, then we move on to an evaluation of how do we do that. Obviously, if it's workload related, if it's a case type that perhaps is not covered in RAS, then our recommendation would be to refer it to the SB 56 working group to perhaps consider doing the appropriate work to include that particular case type within RAS so that we can use it in our workload model. However, we also recognize that there are sometimes circumstances where the change to the model might not be workload related. It might have its own separate bubble, if you remember our diagram, and so we would then have to determine how do we go about incorporating that both practically and mathematically. So there is that kind of internal process that the Budget Advisory Committee would have to go through before we submit it for formal adjustment. And we have, as you have seen, we have worked out kind of the details on the timeline of when that would be included, what would be necessary for the Budget Advisory Committee to consider. And you can go back one. The first recommendation we bring to you is for you to approve the workload-based allocation and funding methodology adjustment request process as laid out in our report, and then I can move on to recommendation number two, which is fairly simple. It directs the administrative office of the court's fiscal service office to develop the appropriate application form subject to the criteria that we think is appropriate. Lockham?
And in terms of recommendation number two, our intent is to incorporate it into existing forms that are required for submission, for example, for the emergency funding, the 2% process. We think we don't want to create multiple forms, but we think that there's ways to adapt existing forms to gather similar kinds of information for the process. So we're trying to make it as as least onerous on the trial courts as possible while gathering the information necessary to make the evaluation.
Let me just also just comment on the fact that we really tried to make this process really tight. We recognize that if we're going to achieve equity, we don't want to reward unique factors, but we want to identify factors that might be applicable to all courts and make sure they're accurately and appropriately reflected in the model. Along the line, we had a discussion about what happens if a court makes a valid case that there should be some modification to the model based on this circumstance, and we agree with it, should they immediately start getting funding for it? And so that's something I think we need to sort through. Obviously, if we send it off to the SB 56 working group to tell us whether or not it's appropriate to put in RAS, we might not have an answer for a year or two while they go through their case type study. So We did kind of wrestle with this, and we determined that ultimately if the recommendation is they should be given some adjustment to their funding need, it should be rolled out in the same fashion that WAFM is rolled out, on an incremental basis according to whatever the proportionate split between WAFM and historical funding model is for that particular year. So, for instance, in fiscal year 14-15, the way the model works is that 15% of the funding that the trial courts receive would be allocated pursuant to WAFM, and 85% would be allocated pursuant to the historical funding model. And if we were to add or adjust the model so to reflect a new factor, the funding for that, if a court is approved for kind of interim funding, would be included on that basis as well. So we were very cognizant of the fact that in order to do this, we would be once again shifting money unless we got new funding.
Judge Rosenberg.
Just want to say how impressed I am that you've had such a transparent and open process. I think Judge Earle and Zlatko should be commended. The fact that you got a unanimous vote again from the committee is indicative of how fair and open the process was. I would move recommendation 1 and 2.
Second.
Second by Judge McCabe, and another second over here. Thank you, Judge Jacobson. Any further discussion? Not seeing any hands raised. All in favor of accepting recommendation 1 and 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Matter carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.